Welcome to the podcast of Life Change Church, where we exist to love people to life change. We hope that this podcast is both challenging and encouraging to you. Enjoy the message.
Cool. Well, hey, we are jumping into a brand new series that's on prayer entitled Help, Thanks, and Wow. So what we're doing today is we're really going to look at how prayer involves aspects of asking for help. So we're jumping back in. I don't know about you, but I'm excited that we are actually back to church on a Sunday morning. I don't know. My routine got a little bit messed up. If you were with us the last two weeks, we actually did our services on Saturday, which was a Christmas Eve. We had a couple services then, and then New Year's Eve, we had a service on New Year's Eve and last Saturday as well. And then we went together and we hung out and we watched the ball drop and we watched multiple balls drop as we actually watched the Ohio State game together. So, but if you missed any of those weeks, though, I would challenge you to go back and listen. I would challenge you to go back to our website. You can watch listen to the podcast, or you can watch the video. And again, that's at www.mylifechangechurch.com. And specifically, again, last week we talked about our goals as a church for 2017. So I would definitely challenge you to go back and look at that one, listen to that one, as Mandy talked about the partnership class and how important that is as we go forth in this new year. And another thing that's so important is really, I think, prayer. So for the year of 2017, we really want to start this year off in prayer. We want to focus in on what prayer is and how powerful it can be in our lives. So again, if you're a first-time guest, you could not have picked a better Sunday, because what we typically do is we study a topic for a number of weeks. And today is the first week of our three-week series entitled Help, Thanks, and Wow. And really, what better way to start off the new year than in prayer? I think, in fact, I'm really going to challenge you guys, and I want to challenge each and every one of you to start off your personal lives in prayer as well. I want to challenge you for the month of January, commit to praying each and every day. And I'm going to talk a little bit about fasting later today, but I'm going to challenge you to even fast for the month of January. I want to challenge you to fast one day a week for the month of January, which means you're giving up something that you usually do. But I think if we start this year off, really what it does is it places our attention on God, and it connects us with God. Because the truth is, there's nothing quite like prayer. Charles Spurgeon, who's a great preacher from the 1800s, he said this about prayer. He said, "Prayer is the slender nerve that moves the hand of God Almighty." Think about how powerful that is, right? When you pray, you move the hand of God on your behalf. But more importantly, there's a connection there because of God. There's a connection there because of prayer. Prayer is the greatest connection we can have with God. In fact, that's one of the main purposes of our prayer. Prayer is not just to get what we want, but it's to truly be connected with God. Another author, John Ortberg, he wrote this, and he said, "The goal of prayer is not to get good at praying. The goal of prayer is to live all my life and speak all of my words in the joyful awareness of the presence of God." Prayer connects us with God. I think there's endless things in our life that are put there so that we can pray for them, so that we can pray about them. And really, each one of those things is a way to connect with God. And what we're going to do through this series is we're going to look at how we can connect with God. We're going to really simplify the puzzle of prayer in our lives. Because the truth is, prayer isn't found in the abundance of our words, but it's in the authenticity of our hearts. And in the end, I think the simplest yet most profound prayers, they fall into three categories of help, thanks, and wow. And through this series, we're going to look at a prophet in the Old Testament named Elijah that really demonstrates this. So today we're going to look at where Elijah came to the point where he had to ask for help. Instead of relying on himself, he had to get to the point where he relied on God. So if you have your Bibles with me, you can go with me to 1 Kings 19, 1 through 17. So if you have your Bible app, you can turn there as well. And again, if you don't have a Bible, I would challenge you to download the YouVersion Bible app. It's an incredible resource that you can put on your phone, your tablet. You can take with you wherever you go. There's reading plans as well. But before we jump in, let me just give you a little bit of background on Elijah. Here's Elijah. He was actually a great prophet. He was connected to God in this amazing way where he would often hear from God. And when he prayed, like, things happened. In fact, Elijah prayed a prayer that stopped it from raining and for 3 years. He prayed this prayer that caused this drought that lasted for 3 years. He also prayed a prayer that brought a dead boy back to life. He also prayed a prayer that set fire to this altar that was completely soaking wet, had no reason to even catch fire. But because of Elijah's prayer, things happened. Because he was connected to God in this incredible way, things happened. He prayed this prayer too that allowed him to kill all these false prophets, which obviously made some people mad, which is kind of where we're picking up today. But Elijah was extremely connected to God. He prayed a prayer true that actually brought the rain back as well. And this is who Elijah was. And really, where we're picking up, all these things had already previously happened. All these things had been going on. So here's this guy, Elijah, right? Who really probably should have been on a spiritual high in his life. Here's a guy who really should have been ready to trust God with anything and everything. But what we're going to look at, just like you and I, Elijah tries to do things himself first. So pick up here, 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 1, says this. Now Ahab told Jezebel everything Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. So Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah to say, "May the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like that of one of them." Elijah was afraid, and he ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there, and while he himself went on a day's journey into the wilderness, he came to the broom bush, sat down under it, and prayed that he might die. He said, "I've had enough, Lord," he said. "Take my life. I'm no better than my ancestors." Stop right there and just look at where Elijah was for a second. This is probably a point where really many of us, we can probably relate with. This is a point where we've probably even been before. Here's Elijah, right? And he's this place where he's running away from everything. He's not really thinking straight. He's almost suicidal at this point where he's saying, "Take my life." He's like frantic. He's overwhelmed. Like, think about that for a second. Have you ever been to that point in your life, right? You ever been there where you just felt like, you know, you didn't think you could take a next step? You were overwhelmed. You just weren't really thinking straight. I mean, if we're honest with ourselves, we probably all have those moments. Moments where we're afraid. Moments where it just leaves us, where we're really not at our best. Moments where we're completely overwhelmed. Moments where we let anxiety and fear take over, and all we can think about is escaping. This is where Elijah was. And the story continues. It says in verse 5, "Then he lay down under the bush and fell asleep. And all at once, an angel touched him and said, 'Get up and eat.'" Elijah laid down and fell asleep. At this moment, he physically quit running. At this point, he quit running. And what happened? An angel touched him. God responded. I think this is so good when it comes to prayer. I think this is so good when it comes to our spiritual lives. When it comes to us asking for help, we need to learn this from Elijah. That when we surrender, God responds. When we surrender, God responds. In fact, if you get nothing else, walk away with that. When we surrender, God responds. If you look at Elijah, he was praying this prayer. It's like complete anguish, right? Here's Elijah. He's completely exhausted. He's tired. He's overwhelmed. He's just done, like it's finished. So he prays this prayer, this suicidal prayer at that, right? And then he falls asleep. But really what it is, it's a step in surrendering. It's a step of surrender from Elijah. And then God responds by sending an angel. And even God even does more than that as well. As we continue on in verse 6, it says he looked around, and there by his head was some bread baked over hot coals and a jar of water. He ate and drank and then lay down again. Then the angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, "Get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you." God responded by sending an angel, but God also responded by providing for Elijah's need. God provided some baked bread, right? He provided this jar of water for Elijah to eat and drink. He provided what Elijah needed to make the journey. And this is interesting to me. As I look at this, here's Elijah's prayer. His prayer is it for it just to be over. Elijah's saying, make it stop. Take my life. Get me out of this situation, right? This is what Elijah's prayer is, but this isn't how God responds. Now, I mean, God obviously could have taken Elijah out, right? God could have taken Ahab and Jezebel out for that matter, right? But instead, what God does is he prepares Elijah for the journey. He gives him the nourishment that's needed. He provides the energy that's needed for the journey. Think about this in our lives, right? Think about this in your life. What are you going through right now that you need help in? What are you going through right now that you wish you could maybe just give up on that and make it stop? The truth is, maybe God's not going to make it stop. Maybe he's just providing, getting ready to provide for you for that journey. Maybe there's a difficult situation in your marriage or your relationship that you're facing and you're just ready to quit. Maybe your finances are a mess. Maybe you're thinking, you know what, I should just file bankruptcy so I can get a fresh start, right? Maybe your career's at a place where it's really a struggle and you're looking at it and you're like, you know what, I should just start again. I should just quit this job because it's terrible. Or maybe there's a health issue or a mental health issue and you wish it would just go away. The truth is this though, God may not be removing that situation from your life, but he may be preparing you for the journey to go through that situation. And he's waiting for you to surrender that to him fully so that he can respond. When we surrender, God responds. Let's continue on verse 8 here. It says, so he got up, ate and drank. Strengthened by that food, he traveled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. There he went into a cave and spent the night. And the word of the Lord came to him. He said, what are you doing here, Elijah? And he replied, I've been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I'm the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me too. Here's Elijah, right? He's at this place where he's trying to get away from these people that obviously wanted to kill him. Kind of makes sense. Like if somebody's trying to kill you, you're probably going to run away from them. And he prayed to God. God sent this angel, gave him some food and said, be on your way. So Elijah takes the food. He goes 40 days on this journey, a 40-day journey without food, really just relying on what God has provided for him. And then God says, what are you doing here? Elijah's probably thinking like, duh, dude, you sent me this way. Remember you gave me food like 40 days ago. Like you sent me out here. I'm hoping really to lay low. I'm hoping probably to get another bite to eat. Like I'm stopped here. Maybe you can give me another, like, you know, some more bread, maybe another jar of water. Hook me up here, but I'm laying low. And then God responds and continues on. It says, then the Lord said, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. And when Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his head and his face, and he went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. Then a voice said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? Here's God. He's talking to Elijah. Then Elijah, he moves out from the cave and he's saying, you know, I'm going to go listen to him. Elijah's probably thinking that God's going to show up in this powerful, big, mighty way, right? But God doesn't do that, right? Here's an earth. Here's these winds that destroy rocks. Elijah's probably thinking like, dude, that my God's big. He can do that. He's going to show up in this wind, but nothing. Then there's this earthquake and still nothing. But God shows up in this whisper. And then he asks the same question again. He goes back to Elijah and says, what are you doing here? And Elijah's probably thinking like, what are you talking about, right? You sent me here. And he's not getting it. Listen, if God asks you a question twice, chances are he's not looking for the same answer. But Elijah replies the same way. In verse 14, Elijah replies the same way again. It says this. It says, he replied, I've been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with a sword. And I'm the only one left. And now they're trying to kill me too. And the Lord said to him, go back the way you came. And go to the desert of Damascus. When you get there, anoint Hazael, king over Aram. Also anoint Jehu, son of Nimshi, king over Israel. And anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat, from Abel-Mahalah, to succeed you as prophet. Jehu will put to death any who escape the sword of Hazael. And Elisha will put to death any who escape the sword of Jehu. I think this is incredible right here, what God does. Elijah gets to this point where he asks God for help, where he surrenders. But God's plan is not the same plan that Elijah would have had, right? Elijah's plan for him was really, he wanted to just go run and hide out. He wanted to lay low for the rest of his life. But that's not God's plan. God didn't want him just to cower in fear. God didn't want him to be ruled by this fear, but it was for Elijah to be safe, but also victorious. See, God wasn't just trying to put a Band-Aid on Elijah's situation. He was actually fixing Elijah. I think the same is true for us. We need to get to the point in our prayer life where we surrender everything, where we ask for help, not just for our situation, but for our own lives. Because we will always be frustrated if we ask God just to fix things in our life, because the truth is he wants to fix us, which means he's going to respond differently every time than what we expect. God responded in a way that Elijah couldn't even imagine. And I think he's waiting to respond in your life the same way. But it all starts when we surrender. When we surrender, God responds. And this is a part of prayer. A part of prayer is getting to this point where we fully surrender and where we ask for help. But I think if we're going to be honest with ourselves, right? Many of us, we're probably too stubborn to ask for help. We probably try to do it alone. I think the biblical version of asking for help, the biblical version of help is really saying, God, you have to figure this out. But the American version, the way often how many of us pray, we say, God, I need to figure this out. I think too many times we fall into that. And I'm going to tell you the truth, I'm right there with you. Like, I'm preaching to myself again. I can be a little bit stubborn sometimes, and I can often do things where I don't ask for help. I mean, just last month, for Christmas, we actually put new flooring in the back part of our house, in our dining room, in our kitchen. So we've been in our house about 6 years. The moment we bought it, we said, hey, we're going to put new flooring in here. It's taken 6 years, so. But Sarah's Christmas present this year was to get new flooring in the back part of the house. So we did that really all, basically took a month. We'll just say that. So about a month process of doing this, right? And I'm putting all this stuff in there. And then half of our kitchen, our washer and dryer kind of sets right there. It's kind of a weird place for it, but it's like a closet where our washer and dryer is. So we had all the floor laid, and then we're getting to the place where we're at the washer and dryer. Obviously, to put the flooring in, we had to move the washer and dryer out. So, but for me, I'm thinking like, I'm just going to get this knocked out. I'll do this real quick, right? So instead of asking for help with my wife there in the house, I'm like, dude, I got this. So I figured I can take this and just move all these things. Listen, when we ever start anything off by saying, I got this, we might want to rethink, and I'm just going to tell you that. So I moved the dryer out first because obviously it's lighter. I'm thinking, man, this is fine. So I get the dryer out. I'm feeling pretty good about myself. I think I get it to the point where it's completely out of the way. And really, there's the closet doors, and then there's an island there. So I just kind of put it to this side here. Then I decided to go for the washer. And like the washer's a little heavier, so I'm kind of like really just using it and pivoting it back and forth here. Next thing you know, like the washer is pinned between the door of the closet. It's pinned right at the island as well, and then to the dryer. And then I'm actually behind the thing as well. So I'm like stuck. I'm sitting there. I'm getting so frustrated. I'm just starting pushing this thing and banging things around. Like, if I get frustrated, instant reaction is try to push something over or hit something, right? That's just how I am, so sorry. But this is what I'm doing. I'm getting ready just to throw this washer and this dryer down, and then Sarah comes around. She's like, what are you doing? Looking at me like I'm crazy. She's like, why didn't you just ask for help? I think this thing's so true in our own personal lives and our spiritual lives. There's so many times where God probably looks at us and he's like, what are you doing? Like, just ask for help. And really, this is where we find Elijah today. This great prophet, right? This man of God who's done all these miracles. He struggled with this as well. Again, if you go back to the beginning of the story we just read, Elijah was on the run. And why? Because instead of just asking for help, he decided to try to take it into his own hands. And he began to run. I think just like Elijah, just like in our lives too, when we try to take something in our own hands, what happens is usually we either run away from the problems, completely ignoring it, or we make the problems worse. Maybe that's where you're at today. Maybe you're here today, and maybe you tried to take some of your own problems, and really they've just become worse. Or maybe you feel like you're on the run, and instead of asking for help, you feel like you're doing it all by yourself. I think the problem is when we run away from our problems, we're not only running away from them, but we're running away from the people that could help us as well. Again, if you look at this passage of scripture that we read, verse 3, something jumped out to me. And it says this is talking about how Elijah was on the run and he left his servant back in Beersheba. Here's Elijah. He's running away from his problems. And what's he do? He leaves the one person dedicated to him. He leaves the one person that's really his whole purpose is to help him. When we run from our problems, I think we run from those who can help us with them as well. I talked about this last week again. God puts people in our lives. We are in each other's lives to do life together. We're called to partner together, which is again why 2017, as a church, our goal is to move from church attendance to church partnership. And as Mandy talks about, next week we have a partnership class. It's going to be an incredible time where really you can learn how you can partner with others and even how the church can partner with you so you can grow in your faith. Last week, I know the Moldens, Jimmy and Nancy Molden, they were so ecstatic about this. So there's people, there's excitement about this because we want to partner together. I know there's many others that are excited about this. And this is really where it starts. This is part, even partnering with other people is a part of our prayer life. Because the truth is, we're not meant to do it alone. We're all in this life together and we need each other through that. And God uses each of us to help each other out. But when we run from that, when we try to do things ourselves, it just leaves us feeling empty. When we try to do things ourselves, it really leaves us feeling lonely. It leaves us feeling vulnerable. And really, we're really vulnerable to the enemy. Because when we're not asking God for help and we're running to something other than God. And that's the definition of sin. Sin is anything that separates us from God. When we're not running to Him, we're separated from Him. So we're running to these things that Satan's really placed in our life, disguised as relief, but it's still a separation from God. And we need to move from that place to where we fully surrender to God. And oftentimes, God will even use those hardships to put us in a place where we live that surrendered life, where we come to Him asking for help. Because when we surrender, God responds. If you look at the story of Elijah, though, overall story, it's an incredible story. It's truly a God story. Even through the struggles, even through the despair, though, you see Elijah surrender over and over to God. And the truth is, each one of our stories is a God story as well. But it starts when we surrender to Him. That's the incredible part of prayer, when we ask for help. Imagine praying these fully surrendered prayers. I believe that we would see God appear in our lives just as He did for Elijah. I believe many of our needs, not our wants, not our desires, but many of our needs would be met, especially for the journey that was provided and before us. God would provide for those needs. I think we could walk in confidence knowing that God is with us if we prayed fully surrendered prayers, because we know we're following His plan and not ours. He may not remove us from each situation, but we can be confident that He's going to provide for us through the journey. We could have His guidance and direction. Again, just like God gave Elijah clear direction in verse 15. Imagine that in our lives. Imagine if we had clear direction. And again, even Elijah was promised these reinforcements for things that would last beyond even his life. Imagine that in our lives. Think about what that would look like. For some of you, that may mean that you're forgiving someone in your life. That may mean forgiveness in an area where you never wanted to forgive, but you're actually giving it to God and letting Him take care of it. For some of you, that means letting go of some of the worry that you hold on to so much. That means knowing His plans truly are better. For some of you, that means instead of running away from your marriage, that you're trusting Him with it. Instead of running away from your career, you're trusting God to direct you through that current struggle. What area of your life do you need to surrender for God and ask for help in? When we surrender, God responds. So how do we surrender? What are some things that we can do to move from beyond our stubborn selves and truly ask God for help? How can we really apply this to our prayer lives and make it more effective? I think if we look through the life of Elijah, we see that surrendering is an ongoing process, right? It's something that is just not a one-time thing. It's something that really you do every single situation, every single day, every single moment where you felt led to something, right? We surrender to that. So what I want to do is I think there's multiple ways, but I just want to give you three different options of really what surrendering looks like. So number one is this: obey. One form of simple obedience is just, one form of surrender is just simple obedience. If you look at Elijah, we see this all throughout his passage, right? In verse 7 and 8, the angel's really ordering Elijah around. He says, get up and eat. It's almost like comical how like just the angel's like mean to him in a way. It was like, get up. But what's Elijah do? He gets up and he eats. He was obedient. Verse 10, the same thing. He was obedient. Now, Elijah's attitude wasn't always the greatest. I mean, if you back up and look at it, there's a lot of times where Elijah's like, I don't want to do that. Come on. But he still did it. It's a form of surrendering. And God works through that obedience. If you look at Elijah, he complied with what God wanted. He submitted to God as the authority in his life. And we're called to do the same thing. See, part of prayer is actually listening and being obedient to what we hear. And again, I've never actually heard the audible voice of God, just so you know, but God speaks through many different things. I think God speaks through other people. God speaks through the Bible when we read the Bible. God speaks through even messages right now. God speaks through podcasts or books you read. But it really goes in with the attitude that we walk into these things with. If we walk in with a prayerful attitude, wanting to respond, God's going to show up and we're going to hear that. We're going to understand that. And we have to go in this attitude of prayer in order to hear. And then we need to obey. Jesus says it this way in John 15:14. He says, you are my friends if you do what I command. We should walk out of prayer ready to obey. See, our goal for a prayer should never be to persuade God into what we want, but rather to become obedient to what he has planned for us. It's an act of surrender, and it allows God to respond in that area where we need help. Number two is fast. We surrender through fasting. And again, fasting is abstaining from an item. It's abstaining from something and using whatever that time, that energy, it's using that time to spend with God and to place on God. Typically, fasting involves abstaining from food, and it places us really in a situation where we completely rely on God, right? Instead of going to something like, oftentimes we go for food for what? We go for energy. Oftentimes we even go for comfort, right? And when we fast from that, what are we doing? We're placing God in our life in that area where we go to him for energy, where we go for him for comfort. It's really completely surrendering to him. And you see this in the story of Elijah in verse 8. It says, so he got up, ate and drank, strengthened by that food. He traveled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. He went 40 days on a meal that God provided him. 40 days on one meal. Think about this. Think of how much that would really let you and make you, force you to rely on God. That's what it's all about. That's what fasting does. It's complete reliance. It's a form of surrendering. And again, my challenge for you to start off this year, to start off for the month of January, is to pick one day each week and fast for that day. In fact, as a church, that's what we're going to do. I want to challenge you, and I'm even going to tell you even on your response card today, make that response. If you feel like God's telling you to surrender in that area, mark what day you're going to try to go, and I'm going to tell you what, I'm going to pray for you on that day as well. I'm going to pray for God to show up and to reveal himself because you are reliant on him. To surrender, we have to obey, we can fast, and then also, number three is we can display reverence. Now, this is a super churchy word, right? The word reverence. So let me just explain this. When I say reverence, I don't mean like be fake or become super churchy or become over spiritually, like just spiritually weird. Like I didn't say weird, I said reverence, right? The truth is we have to be real with God. He desires that from us, but he also deserves respect. And we need to show him respect. In verse 13 of the passage, we see in the scripture where Elijah pulls the cloak over his head. He's walking out of the cave to meet God, and he has this encounter with him where he pulls this cloak over his head. What that is a sign of reverence. It's a sign of great respect. Really, Elijah's displaying that he's unworthy to be in the presence of God. He's humbling himself. He's humbling himself because of all of his impurities. The truth is, each one of us, we've all sinned. We've all messed up, right? That's why God gave us Jesus. That's why Jesus lived a perfect life, because we couldn't. That's why Jesus died on a cross for the penalty that we deserved. That's why he was risen again to give us new life. And all God wants is really to respect him and to accept that and to live that out. When we come to God with deep respect and high regard, just like Elijah, When we come to Him in that manner, what we're doing is we're surrendering any control that we have over our lives. And we're placing Him first. He's the creator, the sustainer of the universe. And He's the one who gave His Son for us. We need to come to Him with reverence and deep respect. In Proverbs 14:26, it says, "Those who respect the Lord will have security, and their children will be protected." When we surrender, God responds. And we can surrender through obedience. We can surrender through fasting. And we can surrender through showing God reverence. My challenge for you this week is to go to God in prayer, to fully surrender to Him and ask for help. Let's pray right now. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we thank You. God, we thank You for speaking to us. God, we thank You for showing up here today. God, we thank You for who You are and for who You really can be in our lives, God. God, I pray that, God, that this week, God, we surrender to You. God, I pray that we get to the point where we can ask help from You for everything in our lives, God. And then I pray that we walk out in obedience, God. God, I pray for those right now that are making a commitment to surrender to You through fasting, God. I pray that You will just show up in an incredible way. And I pray for those, God, that really need to show You reverence as well. God, I pray that we can walk that out and live that out in our lives. And God, we can experience You, God. I pray that You will respond. God, we thank You for who You are. We love You and give this to You. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to the Life Change Church podcast. If you are here today and you are listening and you made a decision to follow Christ, we would love to hear about it. Or maybe you're here and you're listening and that God is asking you to make the next step with whatever that it is in your life. We would love to hear about it and partner up with you. If you would, go to www.mylifechangechurch.com and under the media section, please fill out the contact us information and let us know if you made a decision to follow Christ. Let us know what God is asking of you. And if you need prayer, we would love to partner up with you in prayer as well. We hope that you enjoyed the podcast and that it both encouraged and challenged you. Have a great week.